Well, if we can see the first slide, please. And we're looking at the do's and don'ts of prayer this morning. And it is quite remarkable that you and I, when we pray, we actually get to talk to God. Do you know that? We actually get to speak to the Almighty. Now, you may be sitting there and saying, Wes, come on, I know that. But you may also be sitting there and it doesn't still daily stagger you, amaze you, overwhelm you. And so because of that, you don't treat prayer as the astonishing privilege, an opportunity that it really is. Just think with me for a moment, please. Think with me for a moment who you actually are. Let's be honest this morning, warts and all. Remember that the Bible teaches us very clearly that we're more wicked than we can even imagine. And then think about who God is. Well, sorry, that's a little bit of a problem, isn't it? Because we can't think about who God is, really. Because he's absolutely perfect. And you and I, we're a million miles from perfection. We don't even know what perfection is. But you get the idea, don't you? Here's God, here's us. The difference is vast. But listen to this. Despite the difference, he still invites us to talk to him. He still invites us to share what's on our heart, to come to him as little children and cry out to him, telling him that we need him. Maybe you've got a few big, big problems at the moment. And maybe you think someone like Theresa May could sort it out for you. Well, you try getting on the phone to her and see how you get on. But we have direct access, like we have just sung, boldly into the presence of God. But how did you get on last week? Maybe you weren't here last week, but an awful lot of us felt very challenged, even broken by what Jesus was saying in the previous verses, especially about our giving and prayer. Did you get that extra giving to the needy sorted out? There's a great idea in Contact from Frances, one of our missionaries who's home at the moment. She shared last Sunday night at the Slade. She's sharing more at Abbey Wood tonight. What about prayer last week? A number of you said you felt challenged. Well, did you have a better week praying? I did. Now, I'm not boasting. The main reason was I was getting a text every single morning asking me, how was I getting on? Was I making it a priority? And so on and so on. And so I knew this text was coming in, so I was like, oh, I better have a quick pray and rearrange things. And even on my day off, I took my Bible notes to the coffee shop. I wanted to start the day properly. Because you see, Jesus didn't preach this King's Speech, Sermon on the Mount 2,000 years ago, for the good of his own health. He didn't preach it for us to read and go, that's interesting what Jesus had to say. He preached it for you and I to obey, to take it to heart and to do something about it. So please, don't be like the ducks, okay? The ducks that went to the duck church. And they heard this inspiring ducky sermon from the duck pastor. And as he was concluding his duck message, he finished with this powerful ending. Fellow ducks, we've all been given wings to fly. So stop waddling around in life going nowhere. We were born with wings to go to extraordinary places and see amazing things. And the rapturous, ducky, wing-flapping duck congregation all quacked a ducky, hearty amen. then promptly all plopped down from their seats, waddled out, and waddled all the way home. So what happened last week? Some of us were talking to one another. Oh, wow, yes, my giving, especially to the needy, my prayer. And maybe you even spoke about it to one another. And dare I say it, we were in danger of doing exactly what Jesus came to blow us up about. Stop telling everyone you're going to do wonderful things, but you don't actually get round to it. Don't be a hypocrite. But look how helpful and how tender Jesus is with us in these verses. You've got them on the back of your outline there. He knows our great need of prayer. So he gives us some very clear instructions about it. So let's have a look at the next slide. What are you going to do first of all? Well, the first thing, obviously, is pray. Notice just in these few verses, Jesus says three times, when you pray. So the very simple conclusion, he is expecting us to be praying, and apparently all the time. As you see on the front of your contact news sheet, we've got the verse there, pray continually. Some of the guys were helpfully chatting about that verse on the men's WhatsApp this week. One of them said, before I was a Christian, I used to just talk to myself. Now I also talk to God. And if I'm talking more to myself than to God, I don't feel it's a good sign, they were saying. Now, giving yourself a good talking to can, of course, help. But all too often, when we talk to ourselves, you and I know it's a load of nonsense. Oh, my life is tough. My life is sad. My life is not like so and so. My life needs this. My life needs that. But when we talk to God, he helps us change perspective. He helps us see things as they actually are. He reveals his love to us. He reveals his help, his care, and his grace. He points out those things in our lives that are wrong and we need to repent of. So when we don't pray, we drift further and further away from God. And we see and we hear things from a wrong perspective. Maybe our own perspective. Maybe the world's, maybe Satan's nightmare. So keep talking to your heavenly dad. As you're out walking, as you're commuting, in anything and everything. One of the guys on the WhatsApp was sharing about looking up and just noticing God's creation. Wow, instant, praise him. But then an ambulance rushes by. Okay, pray for the paramedics. In everything, every situation, let's use it to talk to our Heavenly Father. What about as you came this morning? Great, great chance, opportunity to pray Sunday mornings. We're meeting a whole load of people. So some people you're going to meet for the first time. Are you praying about the conversations that you'll have? Are you praying about the time that you'll have? Are you praying that we will learn from God, every single one of us? From the beginning to the end of the Bible, what do we read about? Men and women who love God, trust God, look to God, doing what? Praying. Constantly praying. Praising him, calling out to him. And sometimes in times of real distress, just incredible simple prayers. Lord, help! As God's children, we need to talk to him like needy children talk to their parents. Maybe you're really struggling, wondering what to pray about. Well, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer in the next couple of weeks, these following verses. Just use that as a great guide. And then as we preach on it, I'm sure you'll be blessed even more. Well, let's think secondly. What Jesus tells us not to do now. Don't pray hypocritically. Remember we talked about hypocrites last week? I mean, who are you today? Are you putting on a different mask? Have you got your Sunday morning mask on? Are you being an actor? Are you pretending? Jesus says, verse 5, don't be like those who love to pray, standing on street corners out loud. Why? Because they're only doing that to be seen and heard. Now, reading and studying this, I initially breathed a huge sigh of relief, because Jesus is obviously not speaking to us, because we don't do this, do we? So we can just move on. And no. What's Jesus actually saying here? I mean, because to pray three times a day was a Jewish custom. We read of Daniel in the Old Testament, nothing wrong in that. Praying outside was a Jewish custom. Praying standing was a Jewish custom. But we don't get any mention of on the street corner. I think they probably chose that very strategically. You're on a corner. Oh, and guess what? You could be seen two ways by two lots of people. But a whole load of the things that Jesus says, it's not wrong. So what is he on about? What is Jesus challenging us all about here? Well, it's the one big theme that he's constantly been beating the drum about in his speech, where he's been shining a searchlight into our souls to examine what's really there, our heart's response, our attitudes, in everything. So not just praying, everything. So what about this morning? I mean, what are you actually here for this morning? Have you asked yourself that question when you come to church Sunday mornings? Maybe it makes you feel good about yourself. Maybe because you think your attendance is going to please God and somehow he's going to give you a sticker in your, you know, will I get to heaven sticker chart. What about me preaching this morning? Why am I really doing it deep down? Am I doing it so God will look at me and go, good job, Wes, good job. Even in our praying, even in our secret praying, we can be hypocrites. We looked at what Isaiah the prophet said last week about our hearts, that they're deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So Jesus is not criticizing public worship, public prayer. He's warning us against doing those things with the wrong motives. And if we do pray publicly, I know that's not many of us, but we need to be careful. Am I praying to the audience? Am I praying to get noticed, to get praised? The lesson's very simple here. If you look at these verses of what Jesus is saying, if you are praying to impress people, you'll probably succeed. But that's all the reward you'll get, by the way, because you certainly won't be getting any reward from your heavenly dad. But what about for the majority of you then that don't pray publicly? Jesus is still speaking to you. I prayed silently on my own for years before I became a Christian, but for all the wrong reasons. I had a slight sense of fearing God and that he saw me, so I prayed because I thought, well, he'd probably like it and think I was a good lad. Sometimes I used to kneel. Wow. I even remember once timing myself, and then the next week trying to pray longer. See, you have no idea of how holy a pastor you've got, even from a young age. What do you think about when you think of sin? Usually, I imagine we tend to think of something as outward and perhaps violent, but that's really not the essence of sin. Now, let me help you this morning. If you want a real picture and a real understanding of sin, think of a godly person you know and think of them praying on their own. And even there, sin is trying to creep in. Self and pride are trying to impose themselves. I know that from my own experience. Last Friday, a couple of days ago, I know exactly where I was when I was walking up Shooter's Hill with Monty, and I was praying through the Lord's Prayer, just phrase by phrase, to help me concentrate. And as I came to the phrase, forgive us our trespasses, I started to think over the last day or so of specific things I needed to pray for forgiveness for. And I was walking down Cleanthus Road, and I was... Lord, it's been quite a good last 24 hours, actually. I thought about all the jobs I'd done at home and put the dishwasher on and I put the bins out and I'd been lovely again to Jane and Ashley at home and everyone at church had been really nice too. And here I was, supposedly having a time of repentance, and instead I was reflecting on what a lovely person I was. Where was Jesus tempted the most? When he was praying out in the wilderness. When he was praying alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lloyd-Jones says this: nothing or nowhere is so sacred that Satan won't invade. Sin follows us even into the very presence of God. So before we go on, can I just remind you of the major theme of the Sermon on the Mount? That there's two big themes. That there's a major one and there's a secondary one that's still also a big theme. That's that as children of the kingdom, we live to please our Heavenly Father. That's a great theme, but it's the secondary theme. That the number one theme is this. The Sermon on the Mount, the King's Speech, reminds us constantly, doesn't crush us, but it reminds us that we can never live up to what Jesus teaches by ourselves. We fall utterly short and flat on our faces. It's only by trusting in the righteousness of Christ, his work, his death, his sacrifice in our place, that we can ever be born again and hope to live like this. Because then we have him constantly with us. We have his Holy Spirit guiding, equipping, strengthening to live as children of the King. Because sin is so deceitful, so insidious, so powerful, it'll get us even when we're praying. How we need a rescuer. How we need to cry out to a Savior. Have you done that? If not this King's speech, it'll only condemn you and show you how much of a failure you are when it comes to God's standard perfection. That's why Jesus invites us to trust him. That's why if you go back in your Bibles to chapter 5, verse 17, he tells us he's come to fulfill the law. He's done it for us. And he wants us to trust in him. Well, next slide, thirdly, back to Jesus' instructions. When you pray, hide away. Why? Because it's easy to impress people when you're praying publicly, but not God. Prayer is not for us to be speaking to one another, trying to have a discussion or a debate with them. I remember being in a prayer meeting and one person prayed this: Lord, please help us from the wicked youth today in our community because they're so godless. Amen. Immediately the next person jumped in: Lord, praise you for the delightful youth in our community. They are diamonds, so precious to you. And I was just like, what? What's going on? These guys are not praying. Shutting yourself away means you are only aware of yourself and your Heavenly Father. Also, from a common sense point of view, there's far less distractions. This can be anywhere. You're out walking, you're alone in the house, the flats, in your own room, lying in bed. Now, I know for many of you, it's a big, big challenge because of lack of space. The famous story is told of Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles and 13 other children, who had simply put an apron on her head, sitting in a kitchen, symbolizing to her children, do not disturb. She said it was the closest she ever came to peace and quiet. And wow, did she pray for her children. What you and I do in secret tells so much about us spiritually. I mean, you can look at me and you can make a judgment call on where I'm at spiritually. It'll only be based on everything you see on the outside, though. You have no idea of the state of my heart. Only God does. And surely the greatest example of private prayer to encourage us is who? Jesus. We read a number of times in the Gospels, He went off alone to pray and be with Dad. When and where's your alone time, place, and space? Fourthly, don't pray on and on and on and on and on. I love the phrase babbling on. It's so obvious what Jesus is saying. Don't think long prayers are holier than short prayers. Spit it out. Tell me what you want. Pray simply, pray sincerely, but pray succinctly. Pray like a polite toddler. They say that 2.5-year-olds are the best communicators. You know exactly what they mean and what they want instantly. Jesus is going to go on to teach about what we call the Lord's Prayer. In the Greek, it's only 57 words. You can say it in about 30 seconds. Now, let's be very clear what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying, sorry, 5 minutes, time up. Father God's got to go now. Sorry, you need to be winding your prayer up. He's got time to listen to you all day. Jesus, we also read, would sometimes spend whole nights in prayer. And setting aside specific time and space to pray for extended time can be really, really beneficial. And Jesus is not also against repetition in prayer, but he is against mindless repetitions. Please heal the dog, please heal the dog, please heal the dog, please heal the dog. Please, you get the idea. It's tragic how many people in other faiths, prayer is just some mindless, incessant chanting the same thing over and over and over again. Anyone would think the gods they were praying to were deaf or asleep or false or dead or pretend. Jesus really wants us to get the point, and that's why we read the other passage as well that Jesus shared about in Luke 18, the story of the two men that go to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember, the Pharisee just couldn't stop telling God all his great deeds. And yet, who was the one that was heard? The tax collector who just begged for mercy. And don't slip into the same old phrases. I don't know about you, but sometimes, and this caught me out a couple of days ago, I was praying, and after a minute or so, I'm praying. I just slipped into the same old nonsense that I usually begin with, and I'd completely forgotten that I was praying. You know, sometimes we come to our prayer meetings and we use these well-known church phrases. So what do they mean? Lord, we pray for those laid aside in beds of sickness. What a horrible image. We pray for those sick of the fellowship. Well, yeah. Lord, would you undertake for us? Come on, we can do better than that. One of our youth leaders praying for this older lady, Nelly. Lord, we pray for her bad leg, that you would take it away. I have this horrible image. And a friend of mine, he's also called Wesley, he's a pastor. He's in the middle of a prayer meeting, I'm sure I've told you this before, and he's just in full flow, and he says, and Lord, as the psalmist says, and then it all goes quiet. Lord, I've forgotten what the psalmist says. I mean, put effort into your prayers. If you find it's just same old, get a pen out. Prepare it before you pray. Jesus says in verse 9, so stop babbling like them. Anyway, your heavenly dad knows what you need before you ask him. So don't think you need to inform him of some great mystery that he's, oh, wow, yes, I never realized that was going on in your life. Oh, thank you for telling me. Don't take ages to tell him when he knows. You know, when you're with someone and they're telling you this story and they say, well, actually, I need to go back to the beginning, and your heart sinks a bit and you just like spit it out. God does want you to tell him what's on your heart, though. Not for his benefits, but for ours. A popular Christian phrase about prayer is, prayer changes things. Amen. I love that. But I also know and love the truth. Prayer changes me. Speaks volumes about me and my pride and my trust, or lack of trust and humility. You know, the humble person knows they desperately need God in everything, every day. And so they pray. Do you not pray much? Sorry to say it, you're a really arrogant, proud person. You think you can do it yourself. That's what you are if you don't pray much. You not pray much about your friends? Well, what an arrogant friend. Maybe you're married. Do you not pray much together as a couple? Wow. You're really cocky and confident, aren't you, that things are fine without God's help? Such an amazing gift. And as we close our eyes, if you do, you don't need to, but and as you talk to him, it instantly tells us, reminds us, we can't do this. We need your help, Lord. And get real. You know, maybe some of you need to get real. Maybe you need to just have a proper conversation with your heavenly dad. Imagine a 5-year-old being put to bed by their dad and saying, "Dearest, most wondrous Father, as the day now draws to a close with the shafts of light fading and ebbing moment by moment, would you deign to do me the utmost favor? I beseech you, just like previously on the nightfall, whereof you read from the title of the volume, Noddy Goes to Toy Town." I mean, a real relationship is having real conversations. Yes, you don't just rock up into his presence and go, "Hey God, he's the Almighty." Okay? He's the all-sovereign, all-holy one. We go in reverence. But we don't go as though we're addressing some big dignitary who we've got to wear certain things, say the right things, and so on and so on. What about other practical tips to help us pray? Well, that's why getting into your small groups this week is a great idea, because hopefully, no doubt, you'll be discussing it. They're not on your outline, but we emailed them out to church members and we can make some more copies. But do what I've done, perhaps. Get a friend to text you. Yeah? Found it really helpful. "Hey, how's the praying going? Come on, tell me, be honest." Use the Lord's Prayer. If you're really saying, "Oh, I just don't know what to..." Get it out, pray through it, phrase by phrase. Pray at mealtimes if you don't. Just start there, a simple prayer of thanks. Pray sentence prayers to begin with. "Lord, thank you. Lord, sorry. Lord, please." Pray immediate. "Lord, help me" prayers. You know, you're in a meeting tomorrow and there's a real dilemma. I don't mean you just ask the boss just if you can stop for a moment and you get down on your knees, but inwardly just, "Lord, give me wisdom." Don't leave your house each day till you've prayed. Use your commute. Look at one thing tomorrow morning and be determined to praise God for it. Look at one thing tomorrow morning and be determined to plead God for it or for them. Use contact. It is not just a notice sheet. It's a prayer sheet. Make notes in your small group when people are saying, "Oh, you know, so-and-so and Elliot this week, we hope, God willing, he's going to go in for his operation." Right, okay, Wednesday morning. That's something definitely to be praying about. Stop and pray. We often teach this to the kids. We've shared it before. I'll share it again. It's so simple. It's helped me loads when I'm struggling with my prayer life. Use the word S-T-O-P. Just say sorry to God for something. Thank him. T for something. O, pray for someone other than yourself. And P, please, something for yourself. Fifthly, we're really speeding up. We'll finish now, don't worry. Do pray for the right reason. We pray like Jesus instructs us, not for what's in it for us,
but because we simply love to please our heavenly dad. We want to glorify him. But in return, look what he says. He promises to reward us. Now, we've no idea what the reward is. Jesus doesn't tell us here. However, many of us can testify to getting his peace, his help, his direction, his provision 1,000 times over again and again. And we know quite well that when we pray to God, he reminds us of his greatest gift, Jesus, his son. But when God is genuinely the audience of our prayer, we will have the reward only he can give. And God will faithfully and unfailingly bless us when we come to him in all honesty, reality, and sincerity. Without question, the Lord will repay and reward us more than all we can ask or ever imagine. So last slide, where does this leave us? Hopefully, running to God's throne of grace and boldly, with real confidence. Amen. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. But Jesus also died to rip, remember, symbolically from top to bottom, that huge curtain in the temple that symbolized, keep out, keep away from God. You need this, 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 and this before you can ever get even someone else to pray for you. Jesus tore it apart by his death on the cross to give us free, instant access into his presence, into God's throne room. We don't need rituals. We don't need a priest. We don't need sacrifices. No rules to obey first. So go and talk to him. Jesus is willing us on. Because what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry absolutely everything to him in prayer. Come and tell him right now what's on your mind, what's in your heart. Tell him who you're aching about right now. He already knows, but all he wants to hear, he wants to listen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for being such an amazing, listening Heavenly Father to us, despite who we are. Oh, Lord, help us not to treat prayer lightly, but to use it constantly as a most precious gift to get us through life day by day, to talk to you, to trust you, and maybe even this morning to ask for your mercy and forgiveness because we've been living life without you. We've been living life without asking for your help. Oh, thank you that with you there is forgiveness. There is still today those open arms, that wide invitation for us to trust you. So come, speak, we pray, to every single one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.